Last time I spoke on the vision journey and how discovering vision for our life is a journey. It's been a journey as a church, and Sandra touched on that this morning with her prophetic word. And it's a journey for us as individuals as well. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about vision. We're going to talk about it as it relates to us personally. We're also going to talk about it as it relates to pursuit. So we're going to be going through different aspects. But let me first of all bring up vision statement for pursuit. And this is probably new to practically all of you. It's pursuit, where you encounter God, become connected with family, and are transformed and empowered to impact your world. As I said, that statement is probably new to most of you. See, what most are familiar with is our purpose statement. And it's been up during the service, touching the heart of God, impacting the heart of man, releasing the kingdom of heaven. Purpose and vision are slightly different. Purpose has to do with what God wants to do in the planet. And so most purpose statements for churches are fairly similar, because God's purpose for a church is the same regardless of whether you're a Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or whatever. God's purpose for us as believers, being in local groups of believers in places that we call church, is basically the same. Where the individuality comes is with values, and we spent a lot of time last year talking about our values as pursuit. So when you came to church this morning, looking round, I don't see any of you in a three-piece suit and a tie. That is not the culture of our church, but in some churches it is. So that was last year. We spent a whole lot of time talking about culture, and it was a lot of fun. And we need to understand culture. And if you go to a new church and you're going to be visiting there, one of the first questions you usually think of is, what am I going to wear? Because you're not quite sure of what the culture is. And that's fine. So our culture makes us different, and our vision makes us different. Now, vision is usually a long statement that is written up and filed away. In fact, we're not going to try and read it, but this is a shot showing you the vision statement for pursuit. As you can see, it's long, and some of you are probably trying to very quickly read it, and that's okay, but it's a little bit small, and you're going to struggle, and for most vision, you write it and you file it, and most people don't remember it. God has been very gracious and given us a whole series of pictures that relate to our vision. Ray says, let us read it. So if you want to, you can read it. You're really wanting us to read that out? Okay, Ray says we're reading it, so we're reading it. Pursuit is an oasis amid a dry and weary land, whether wearied by performance or dry from a lifestyle devoid of God. People are looking for connection and intimacy with a real God who loves them as a true father. People will come to sit in the presence of God's love, mercy, acceptance, and grace. They will be caught up in worship and encounter God in a personal and profound way. The shackles of sin and the weight of performance will be replaced by life-giving streams of intimacy with God. Dry bones will live, bodies will be healed, lives will be changed. Pursuit will be known as a place of physical and emotional healing and transformation. Some will come to be refreshed and then leave, taking the aroma of God's presence with them. Others will stay. They will become trees of righteousness planted by rivers of water. They will become strong, strong in the word, strong in character, and strong in their identity in God. Relationships will flourish, family life will be sweet, and the work of the enemy will be undone in their lives. Just as cities rise around springs of water, so ministries will rise and flourish. The healed will become the healers. Pursuit will be a place of ministry and a city of refuge. People will reach out, restore, and see the lives of others transformed. Pursuit will be a training base and an incubator of destiny. What began as an oasis will become a river. What springs up within pursuit will flow out beyond pursuit. Individuals and teams will reach out to impact communities, cities, and nations. Those that come to the church will become the church. Empowered by the Spirit, they will flow in the gifts and walk in the fullness of their destiny. They will know who they are in God and will minister to many. They will be known as those who carry hope, transform lives, and impact nations. Great. It was great to hear the people go, yes, that's us. That's our vision statement. Now, hopefully that kind of impacts you guys, but you're probably not going to remember much of it. Okay? Except go, yes, like that. Well, God actually gave us some pictures to go with it. The first, and these pictures I've got off the internet, one day we'll probably have an artist that will actually put this all together for us. In the meantime, I'm relying on Google Images. So the first picture God gave us was an oasis, a place in the midst of a dry, barren land. That pursuit is that, and we have had many words over us as pursuit, that we are going to be this place that people discover and go, wow, there's something special here. And it's the presence of God. The second picture is that round an oasis, there will be trees that will be planted. See, the Bible calls us trees of righteousness. And trees speak of individuals and came out prophetically about the fruit coming out in trees. Trees bear fruit. It's a picture of the fact that those who are planted by waters flourish. God wants us to flourish individually. That is also part of the vision of the church. Then the next picture is a picture of not only trees round an oasis, but buildings. While trees speak of people, buildings speak of ministry. And I know that ministries are forming and will continue to form as part of who we are as pursuit. And then the last aspect is an oasis becoming a river. See, the pastoral model for a church is that you gather, care, and keep. The apostolic model for a church is that you gather, train, and send. And that's part of who we are as pursuit. It's not just us coming together to be blessed here, but us coming here and receiving so that we have something to take out beyond pursuit. Now, the best way to illustrate the vision is through somebody who's living it. So I'm going to get Michelle to come and share her testimony.
Please forgive me if I ramble a bit. I'm very tired. Been up since about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. There is a main part of this testimony, but I'm going to save that to the end. When Pastor Pam asked me to share today, I thought it was only that testimony part. But she said if I wanted to share a bit of my history leading up to this, than I can do, and I've been praying about it while I was at the front, and he wants me to. And it terrifies me, but I'm going to do it. I grew up, well, I was dragged up basically, with every form of abuse you could name. And as a result of that, I had a complete hatred of myself, and the abuse continued from me personally. I was abusing myself, hence my size and a few other things. But over the last 2 years, God has healed me of all of that. I was healed of depression, anxiety, dissociative identity disorder, used to be called multiple personalities. But I've been healed of all of that. And God has done a huge work in me personally. The self-hatred is no longer there at all. I still struggle with little elements, but I know he loves me, and because he loves me, I can love me. And if I love me, anybody else that wants to love me, go for it. But as a result of that, God has been using me. As most of you know, I'm working at Middlemore Hospital in the Birthing and Assessment Unit. That job was supposed to finish in January, but it's now permanent. They are paying for me to continue with my midwifery training, so I can now completely qualify to be my midwife career, which is my dream. But the dream that of being a midwife is in creating a family, because I haven't had a family until I came here. And I've always had a fear of people, because it was people that hurt me. But at the same time, I had a huge love and a huge want to protect and guide and nurture and just bring people together in family. And that was exposed hugely the one before. At the hospital, we have one room that is set apart for either babies that have passed away or that are expected to pass shortly after birth. And I was delivering the meal to this particular room. This room gets two meals, one for the lady and one for the partner, or whoever's there with them. I delivered the first meal, and I noticed the lady giving me a really funny look. And I sort of just brushed it off, thinking that it was just my job. And when I took the second meal in, she said to me, "Do I know you?" And I looked at her and I said, "I don't think so. You know, we may have crossed paths somewhere along the way, but I don't think I know you." And she said, "I dreamed about you on Wednesday." And that sort of shocked me. And she said, "You were in my dream, but you had water flowing all over you." And I thought, "Okay, Lord, what's this about?" And she said, she noticed my cross, which never comes off, just a piddly little one. But she noticed that, and she says, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Do you believe in miracles?" I said, "Do I ever?" I said, "I have had so many miracles for me personally. I mean, I've had cancer 5 times. Cancer-free, and I have seen miracles." Didn't go into any details, and she said to me, "Will you pray for me?" And I said to her, well, I'm not really allowed to. And she said, I really, really believe you're to pray for me. And I said, well, I'll probably get in trouble for it, but okay. She started telling me the story. She's been on IVF for 3 years, hasn't been able to conceive. This baby that she was carrying had just been diagnosed with microcephaly. For those of you that don't know, the brain doesn't develop and the head is small. So they were expecting baby to die soon after birth. But we prayed and I left the room. Yeah, I got in trouble. but I've got big shoulders, I can take it. But anyway, the labour progressed and she gave birth to a perfectly normal child. The head was smaller than it should have been, but there was, apart from the slightly smaller, there was no signs of microcephaly at all. So that was a huge, huge blessing.
Folks, we can wait for people to come, or we can go. Yes. Jesus said go. It's a far better option. See, wherever you go, you take Jesus. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is, and he wants to touch the lives of other people. And the vision of this church is to equip people to do that. God wants to do things like that through you that will totally amaze you. Why? Because he's God. And he just loves to do amazing things. Pursuit. Will you encounter God? So that's where it starts. Become connected with family. Michelle, I love what you shared about that. And are transformed and empowered to impact your world. You have a world that's waiting for you. In fact, Romans 8 says all of creation is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. The world out there is waiting for us. We just need to find out who we are so that we can take what we have out to them, because they're not necessarily going to come to us. But if each and every one of us go, and we're going to so many different places, I mean, we're together here Sunday morning, but where are we Monday morning? How many lives can we touch? It's huge. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Most of the church thinks that it says, withdraw from the world and wait for them to come. We're meant to be going. There are aspects of this vision that we're going to be talking about. There's 5 aspects, actually. When you break this down, encounter, connect, transform, empower, release. We put release rather than impact. But release has to do with impact. And what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks is we're going to be talking about these different aspects and what they look like. Because I believe that this is the progression of who we are as a church, but I also believe it's the progression of who we are as individuals. When Michelle shared her testimony, she talked about encountering the love of God, finding out how much God loved her. And all of us, we start there. Doesn't matter where we're at, we discover that there is a God who loves us. that changes our life. And then we start to connect with others. See, God puts the solitary in families. And for some of us, that's scary. And that's part of what God has for us, to connect us with one another so that we become family, so that we become strong. Transform. Michelle touched on that briefly. Some of you have known Michelle for years and have seen the transformation that's happened in her life. But we could have that said about you. You've been transformed. You've grown. You've changed. Empowered. Didn't you love the fact that you have people up here this morning that were willing to take a risk and to share something prophetically to bless others? That's part of being empowered. That's part of us saying, okay, we're not coming to church just to listen to somebody up the front. We're coming to church to learn to be the church. Release. Well, I've already touched on that, but there is a world out there that wants to know what you've got. Let's not disappoint them. So let's start with the first one, encounter. What do we mean by encounter? Well, it's kind of one of those words like prayer. I mean, we use the word prayer because we are talking to somebody very special. We can say talk to God, or we can put the label on it that most people have and call it prayer. Well, encounter is all about relating with God. And because he's special, we put a special word on it. God here, pursuit will be known for the presence of God and a walk of connection and intimacy with the Lord. Lives will be touched and Jesus will be exalted. It's normal for believers to hear God. That's what I believe anyway. And I love to see other people get that revelation, that Papa God wants a relationship with them. See, that's what encounter is about. Briefly put, encounter is an awareness of the person or presence of God. Just becoming aware of who he is. See, you can do that right now, right in the seat where you are. Just become aware of him. He's in you. He's with you. And if we kept doing this, some of you would start to hear things. Some of you would probably start to laugh or just feel joy or peace or whatever. He's not just a God in heaven, he's a God who is in you. Moses said to God, if you don't go with us, I don't want us to go anywhere. Because if we don't have you, what makes us different from anybody else that's on the planet? If we don't have the presence of God here, we might as well be a Rotary Club or the Lions or something. But if we're going to say that we're a church, if we're going to say that we're a gathering of believers, then let's have God in our midst. It's nice to go somewhere where you're just made to feel welcome. And we want to do that as a church. But the greatest compliment I believe anybody can pay us as a church is for them to say, I found God there. I sensed his presence. I knew God was in that place. And we've had that happen. People have come in here and it's like, wow, I feel the presence of God. I believe that's what the Lord has for us as a group of people, where we come together and we enjoy one another's company, but we also know that there's one in our midst who promised that even if just two of us got together, he'd be there. If we're going to rely on cameras and lights and music and drama and all that, we're going to come a very poor second to the world. But we have something the world hungers for. Ezekiel 39:29 says, I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. I won't hide my face from them. Do you know it says of Moses that he spoke with God face to face? Ray mentioned that in the music, about him speaking face to face with God, and his face shone. He didn't even know. But God wants to talk to each and every one of us face to face. When you see somebody's face and you're talking to them, you know what they're thinking, you know what they're feeling, you get a glimpse into their heart. I mean, this sending text messages and emails, I mean, who's found out you've done that and a person has got totally wrong idea of what you were saying? Anybody done that? Yeah. They didn't understand because they didn't see your face. God wants us to see his face so that we know his heart. And if there's a place where we should be able to see his face clearer than any other place, it should be church. That's our heart. I believe that's our starting place, to come here and just fall so in love with Jesus. It's like, wow, Jesus, you're here. Mary poured that perfume out on Jesus. Why? Because she'd known what it was to sit in his presence and just be with him. She didn't need to know anything more. But out of that love encounter, she poured out what she had. God does not want us to be duty driven. He wants us to be delight driven. When Ray and I were courting, we were miles apart, but it didn't stop us from getting together whenever we could. He would drive hours to come and be where I was. Why? It's a simple thing called passion. As believers, we're to be passionate. To get up in the morning and go, great, I get to spend some time with the Lord. Not, oh yeah, well I suppose I better read my Bible. God wants us to be lovers. Passionate lovers. And I believe that comes out of his presence. Out of just being with him, we fall in love with him. I'm going to skip over that one. Okay, to the last one. It's time's up. Isaiah 55. In fact, no, I am going to go back to the other one. Psalm 84, 1 and 2. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Many times we don't recognize that what our flesh is crying for is God. We try to feed it, we try to sedate it, we try to comfort it, we try and stimulate it, we try and do everything with it. Do you know that your body even is crying out for God? There's a whole world out there that's hungry and they don't know why they're hungry. It's because they haven't tasted what it is that is meant to be feeding them. Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you start to taste, you get addicted. And it's a good addiction. It's like, God, I gotta have more. So anybody here with that cry this morning, God, I gotta have more. See, it doesn't matter where you're at, what you've gone through, where you've started from. There's more. And let's finish with that scripture in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, buy. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. One of the words that the Lord gave me this morning was the word saturate. I believe there's some people here this morning and God wants to saturate you. Because you've been living on the edge of the oasis rather than jumping in. You've put your toe in a little bit and gone, I guess the water's all right. God's saying it's time to jump in. In Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel prophesies to the dry bones, God says, Israel have said, my bones are dry and my hope is gone. And I think there's some people here this morning that you're in that place. You're listening to the vision going, yeah, well, that sounds good, but on the inside, you know that there's a dryness there. If that's you this morning, I've got a team who would love to pray with you because God wants you saturated in his presence where you drip with who he is. Ever had kids come out of a swimming pool and run through the house? They just drip water everywhere. Do you know God wants you just like that? So saturated in his presence that you go to work Monday morning and you walk past somebody's desk and they fall out under the power and start saying, what do I need to do to get saved? Heidi Baker recently was in a restaurant. She was just having a meal with friends. And the people at a table nearby started crying out, what do we got to do to get saved? She'd never said anything. They didn't even know who she was. People have come in here and simply in the middle of worship have been healed. Why? Because where the presence is, healing is. When you walk into your workplace, when you go home, you carry something. You carry God. He's in you. He's on you. Sadly, many believers don't know who they are or what they carry. But the more time we spend in his presence, the more time we know who we are. I remember as a young believer, part of my education degree, I was working with special needs people. And I was at this institution working with special needs and they decided that they were going to get a yoga instructor to come on in and work with these people. He took one look at me and I took one look at him and there was a different spirit. Those people were not able to connect. He got so frustrated. He was like, you, take that person over there. That person who was meditating and into whatever instantly wasn't. I had so much fun that day. See, do you know who you are? Do you know what you carry? Do you know that where you go, God goes? And God loves to touch people. Let's pray. Papa, we're called to be people of your presence. We're called to know who we are. We're your kids. And Lord, where we go, you go. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing at Pursuit. Lord, I thank you for an even greater intensity of your presence in this place. Lord, that we will be people who will come into the presence and we will know what it is that when we leave, that presence is on us so strongly that whoever we go near knows that God has come close. Lord, we thank you for Michelle's testimony. Lord, we thank you that what has been Michelle's testimony can be the testimony of many, of going into workplaces and seeing you touch and change lives. Lord, of seeing homes turned round, bondages broken, sick people healed, miracles happening. Lord, I thank you for the adventure of living for you. Lord, take us out of the ordinary. Take us into the supernatural where we belong, because we're a people of your presence. Lord, we thank you. We want to encounter you and we want to reveal you. In Jesus' name, amen.